This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Men Talk on Plains FM 96.9. This is a playful search for understanding and appreciation of men. Your hosts are Donald Pettit from Canterbury Men's Centre and me, Ian Ferguson, coordinator of International Men's Day in New Zealand. Today we talk to Sean, who started a support group for men, the Oamaru Wolf Pack. We talked to Sean while he was doing seasonal work in Australia via video conferencing. There are a few audio issues. This show is kindly supported by the Christine Taylor Foundation for Mental Health.
Cool, Sean. Hey, good to see you again. Tell us a bit about you.
A bit about me. I grew up in North Otago, on the East Coast. I grew up with my mum and dad together until I was about 13. And then the world changed after that. And that was my first true clash of probably reacting how I felt rather than reacting how I thought I had to react. Yeah. And then that was a big turning sort of stage in my life. I got really angry about a lot of things, and it discovered a lot of things, you see. And looking back on that, this is all the growth I've had in sort of the last 5 years. There was just... They're simple now, but they probably weren't simple then because I had no other alternative to look at. Just like simple things like self-awareness and changing your perception of how you see things around you. You know, simple practices that can change a lot of things. So, I just want to share a bit of growth with people, help them step up into their own growth, really.
How old are you now?
I'm 34 now. I'll be 35. Well, 1985's model, so it's a good model so far.
Yeah, you what kind of a trade you in now?
Yeah, basically I've worked in farming most of my life. Now I'm doing seasonal tractor work in Western Australia, so we'll start getting into the tractors again on Tuesday, and it'll take us about 6 weeks to plant our wheat and barley and canola crop here. So we have four guys running two tractors pretty much 24 hours a day. We'll do 12-hour shifts each. But I spent probably 19 years on dairy farms, and I really enjoy working on farms. It's always been something that's just become quite natural and enjoyable to me. It doesn't feel like a chore. But now that I've been self-employed going into my third year, so that's mostly my work. I sort of do a fair bit of gardening and starting to move into some things that I'm really enjoying, like tree planting on farms and things, but that's mostly spring and summer work. So I can spread my year out with some seasonal work as well. It means it's working to quite a nice lifestyle, really.
Well, I noticed your email is Nature's Barbers, so that would explain the landscaping aspect of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've always... liked working under my own steam, mostly because that's probably a long story, but sometimes it's hard to delegate, so you just get the job done yourself. So working for yourself is quite a good thing for that. And when I just decided that I needed to go back out on my own, and I did a mind map to come out what I was going to call the business, and nature's always been a really good thing for me to spend my time in. So then I just had a haircut at the barber, and it just comes to me and one nice thing, Nature's Barber. It's been really good for me. Had plenty of work and made some good connections through that.
I noticed you've gone through a few facial hair changes while I've known you as well.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of an underlying reason why I wanted to grow dreads, because when you get to 34, 35, and if you don't have lost all your hair on top, you've got to make the most of the time you got left. So I thought I'd get some dreadlocks. I always wanted dreadlocks, and didn't even know when it'll start falling out. So
Just make sure if it does start falling out that you don't let them hang on there for ages with one or two little hairs holding them in. That looks
once of this. No.
That's a personal learning experience there, Ian, is it?
Well, as soon as I realized I was going bald, it was just like shave it all off.
That's not true actually.
What happened to me was I was it's combing my hair and I found I was combing it forward. I thought, okay, time to accept what's happening and get the buzz cut.
Yep. Nature's barber got you.
Yeah.
And when I first met Shem with his various facial hair like that, that must have been about 6-7 years ago, wasn't it, Shauna?
Yeah.
You talked about this project you were getting going.
So, yeah, it's already five years ago now, so 2015. It's called the Omaru Wolf Pack. So that name came about because me and a couple of my friends come together after, it was after another male suicide in our town, really, was the catalyst for it to actually start to go, let's actually at least start talking about this and trying to see what we can do. Because there wasn't any really alternative. The question I asked was, if a bloke does have a bit of trouble, like he's got things on his mind and he's not handling it, where does he go for help? And there was no answer to that question. And I thought, that's not really a good enough answer, eh? So we've got to try and do something. And three or four of my mates stepped up and started having meetings. That's 5 years ago. And then about 6 months, we got donated it was an old run-down kind of smoko room, but it was beside a local business's main office building, so we had all their kind of power when we wanted it. Let's donate that as our use, and that kind of gave us ownership for it then once we got even if it was a small room, but it became a thing then. Yeah, it's been a real journey for all of us, especially me, but everyone individually too. It's just a constant learning when you're trying to, give and look after yourself at the same time.
I guess for anybody listening, you formed a men's group, didn't you?
Yeah, basically, it's a men's support group is the easiest way to describe it. But that description can bring in lots of pictures of things. And
give me a few pictures of what a men's group could be.
This depends on where your demographic is. At the end of the day, that's been something we've realised. When you've only got a small group of volunteers, you want to do more, but you've got to limit yourself to what you're able to do and keep yourselves looked after at the same time. But basically, it was still amazing to watch the small things that happen just individually throughout the guys that were stepping up and then slowly supporting another person like a small ripple. And that, I think, just gave a bit of an alternative to just sticking your chest out and pretending everything was right, because people in the community start to recognise some of these guys that have been, sort of making a bit of extra noise on Facebook about, how they've had a struggle and they've overcome it and dealing with it and going through the emotions that's there. So it's been awesome to actually have that realisation of we've made a small difference where there was no ripple really, and it's actually rippling on further. Regular meetings are great, but in this world, especially in isolation and everything now, these kind of Zoom meetings have been priceless for that sort of stuff.
Oh, have they? So you guys kept it up through that?
Just with the individual guys. We haven't had too many group chats yet because it's quite hard to get everybody at the same time, even though everyone's checking at home. But especially me, I'm 4 hours behind.
So how many guys would have been coming along at times? And I'm sure it was a mixed bag over a 5 year period, but
it has been. But it's been a steady. I've always generally had probably a good half dozen guys when we're sort of just kicking around doing projects at our headquarters, because that's been quite a just a nice gathering place for us, to have just wee jobs to do there, a bit of painting in the walls and with this carpeting and things like that. So that in itself, but we might gather there 3-4 times a year. So then we'll have anywhere from half a dozen to a dozen guys that will turn up. And a lot of the other guys, yeah, they meet people just so busy with their children and stuff. Sometimes they're not able to get there, but you always seem to have just the right amount of people turn up. It's quite ideal.
I see. So how frequently would you guys meet then? You said once a quarter or something like that? Or?
Yeah, in person once a quarter. We have pretty active, just a small Facebook chat group, and it's the Wolfpack Helpers in general we chat group. So the people that kind of engage a bit more, we just chuck them on that chat, and it's just a bit easier to keep up to date. We might communicate with people on there 2 or 3 times a week, just general bits and bobs, you know, every now and then. So that's kind of the way that it's been a bit more easier for us to connect without having to all have the same time available right then and then. We can use those social media platforms, and it's actually been quite effective.
How many people know Maroon anyway?
I think there'll be anywhere from 13 to 14,000, probably closer to 14,000 now, I'd say.
Changing culture there, isn't there? Like the whole Oamaru steam scene.
Yeah. Oamaru, I mean, it's probably very similar to a lot of other small towns, but it has lots of different cultures there too. It's hard to find the right words for it, but it, you know, kind of like the macho tough culture, you know, between young blokes. So still, no matter how far that ripple goes, sometimes it's really hard to actually make inroads against the culture that's already there in certain bits. But what you can do is show them a better path, and if they take it, it's their choice.
Well, you were going out on a limb, weren't you? Creating your own culture, I imagine.
Well, largely it was, really. Because there was all sorts of barriers we had to cross. And it was actually that whole learning about the barriers that we're putting up in the first place too. That was a whole lesson for lots of us, you know. One thing I'm quite proud of that evolved within the group is we'll hug each other most of the time when there's a meeting of us there. You know, once we see each other and haven't seen each other for a while, give a nice big hug. And that kind of rippled through the group too. First it's only me and another bloke here giving each other a hug, and another guy turned up a light hug, and then eventually, you know, everyone could see that it was actually absolutely normal. And then the learning about going beyond that normal, like what we'd seen as normal in our minds before we had to just see it as it is, that's the whole part of the good process. People can open their mind to those things. It's give them some more self-power, I think.
So do you find when you guys are bumping into each other in town, for example, is that you still give each other a hug when you see each other, or is it?
Yeah, we do now, yeah. And Wilson Barry, a good friend of mine, and he was one of the main guys that stood up right at the start. He broke it down for lots more people than just me and him. He gave me a big hug just like at half time of his rugby game. So there's 30 guys on the field, let alone all the people watching it. And he comes up, gives me a real big hug. I was like, yeah, we're going to get it. So
that's nice, yeah.
Yeah, and probably hasn't happened for quite a long time at a rugby game in Oamaru, but, you know, it was a good thing for probably, other people to see if we can normalise it for just what it is, you know. But yeah, that was a good little light bulb moment that stuck in my head when he did that.
Yeah, it was a pivotal thing for me when I was in men's groups initially, and I went through a period where I got hugging, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with it, so it changed. That alone changed who I am, you know? When I greet people, it's just kind of unconsciously I'm doing it, if that's the kind of person they are as well, but you know, it's funny how it became normal. So most people I know, I'd give a quick hug to or whatever. If I, you know, if I'm not a work colleague or if it's not a formal setting, even in a formal setting, you know, it's more appropriate for that kind of touch now than it ever was. Unfortunately, the coronavirus has set that all back, I'm sure, a certain amount. what have you learned? You know, you're 35 now. You did this for 5 years. So what did you learn about men while you were doing this? And what you and about yourself?
Yeah, it really became a lesson about myself, a lot of it in the end. You know, it sounds selfish, but so many things that I was starting to recognise was about myself. It was way easier to recognise than actually go into battle with them. You know, for the early day, it was easy just to try and promote the ideas around better men's health, but I really had to start living that better health myself for it to actually be genuine.
And what's a better men's health? I don't actually have a good idea myself, even though I work in the field.
I can only really talk from my own experience, you know, because for me, I had to go into battle with alcohol because I drank really heavily for at least 5 years, and then for the last 6 months of that 5 years, I was drunk for the whole 6 months at work and everything, and it was a whole turning point that 6 months though, because it had to hit rock bottom in those 6 months to realise really what was going on. And in the end, my drinking had just evolved from lots of things that I just didn't handle properly, and just kind of buried whatever emotion was trying to be seen at the time. And then, you know, my drinking just ended up covering a lot of it because it made me feel good temporarily. Once I got onto the other side of it, that's when I really started to sort of grow. So that 5.5 years ago was that 6 months that I didn't stop drinking.
Was there any trigger at all, like an embarrassing event or a?
It's a bit of a it was a catalyst for it. So it wasn't an embarrassing thing. It was at the end of that 6 months, I moved home to New Zealand permanently from Australia. I've been living over here for 5.5 years, and then 10 days after I moved home, my sister was in a car accident. She passed away. As soon as I heard that, first thing I did was I got down to the scene and everything. It was a box of beer. I just started drinking from day one. And it wasn't until the night after her funeral that, I woke up about, must have been early hours of the morning. I was actually covered in spew. I was covered in piss. I'd made a really bad mess of myself. But a good friend of mine was still standing there watching me, you know, looking over me. I was like, what am I doing in this bush? And he said, you were too stubborn. You would not move. You were determined to stay in that bush, but I wasn't going to leave you here alone. And, you know, that was when I kind of absorbed all that in the morning, I stopped, you know, I looked at it and I was like, mate, you know, like, you've got life and you've got to make it way more worthwhile than this shit, you know. So that kind of, from there on in, you know, I really went into battle with alcohol because that was my vice. And until you kind of really recognise your go-tos for maybe becoming a problem if they are, you can't kind of get in behind it. Yeah, for me, that was the turning point to really become healthier. Alcohol just affected my whole being at the time.
That was enough there, and you set your mind to that. But when you describe a battle, that means, I guess, afterwards there was a lot of pressure in yourself to continue, or? Is that what the battle was?
Yeah, because I became to the realization not long before I left Australia that I was drinking heavily to combat my anxious feelings. I was getting really, really bad anxiety. I didn't even register at the time that I couldn't answer the phone because I was shaking and scared, unless I had 6 beers. That was one of the bigger catalysts, because that was my way of coping with whatever was in front of me. But then the real hammer was that, okay, you've got to make your life worth more than this while you're alive, because life can be beautiful if you're sad, it's beautiful. And, you know, it takes a fair amount of kind of already a good enough charge in the battery to keep that level of perception. It's a difficult balancing act, but that self-awareness thing is something that I really remind myself quite often and try and practice as best as I can.
You were going through that particular challenge and the wolf packs, these guys were starting to get to know you. You were all getting to know each other. Was your mate who was there that time, was he part of the wolf pack as well? Or was he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he was one of he was one of the early founder guys kind of that stood up for the first sort of two meetings. And then because we had the first wolf pack meeting that same month and my sister passed, you know, it became that 50-50. Do I put my energy into this? I'm a bit knackered. Or do I use my energy for this? And one saying that Dad said to me, and it stuck in my mind, it gave me that extra bit of pep, you know. It was, Sean, when things like this happen in your life, it can either fuel you or it can consume you.
Did you go through a dark patch yourself? Because I know you've talked about fear of suicide for others in your group. I imagine that might have been part of what you were going through as well, was it? Or
yeah, well, that was mostly when I was a teenager. Because alcohol became my ability to cope almost. So I didn't, when I was a teenager, I wanted my shitty state of anger and all that I was in, consuming this a bit. Consumption of it stop, you know. It was a heavy burden then, you know, when I was 18. Thankfully, people were there to stop that before it got to the point of no return, and I'm forever grateful for that because it gave me an ability to be alive and change my perception and make it count.
I guess I've got the inside track here because I've heard you tell me some stories with the Wolfpack over the past 5 years. Been there to take care of some guys who've been going through some really vulnerable times. Maybe you could say something about those guys.
I know there's a really prime example, and it makes me really chuffed, and it makes it all worth it. You know, anytime I feel like I haven't got the energy to do it today, sometimes it's a simple thing to reach out and support someone, but you've got to be in a strong enough state yourself first, really, as well. And that was be quite wrong to realise that. But anyway, he's now the right-hand man to the wolf pack. Like, he's the one that gives me the extra pep sometimes when I can't get my mind around a big situation. And he went from a really, really shy, you know, man with not really enough sort of self-confidence to even sort of suggest things, but he was still part and we still, you know, just kept amongst the conversation. But just with that support and standing with him, he's become, you know, someone that questions things to the whole group and helps with constructive input. And, you know, he's the one that puts his foot forward when others can't. And it's been an awesome journey just to watch him in that 5 years grow with that support, just be so confident in himself now.
I spent a lot of time in men's groups and though this is on radio, you might see that picture behind me is actually a painting by one of the guys from my group, Michael Springer. But one thing I got out of my men's group was that I finally got a lot of more insight into how guys actually think. They're very good, positive, strong characters, how Superman thinks and how Clint Eastwood thinks and Dirty Harry and all these guys. And I think there is actually something helpful and positive to be emulated amongst these heroes and, you know, taking on challenges, but also to know how a regular guy thinks and how they adapted to their life's challenges. And that's one thing, I guess I felt like I got a lot more insight into men in general, just from me getting to know 5 or 7 guys really intimately. It just deepened my understanding of them, deepened my understanding of myself. It's like going from one language to speaking 6 or 7 languages. Does that ring true for you at all, of your experience with this?
I love that shared experience of learning, yeah, from how they've adapted to their challenge in front of them. But you also realise that we're all so similar, you know, as well, underneath our personality or our the layers, and also to see that amongst folks that have not really known each other too well, but they've got this striking thing in common where they can actually talk about that and share the experience. Yeah, that's happened the odd time when we've had our working bees out of the headquarters. Yeah, it's forever learning, I guess.
There's a kind of a general kind of stereotype that guys don't want to talk about, you know, their experiences and their feelings and stuff. Do you think that that's not really true? They just need the opportunity and the place to do it?
Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? It's getting that conversation going. Because I often find, and it's either me or, you know, both those two guys that I've talked about, you know, if they're part of that circle, either one of us that would genuinely raise something of our own. A lot of the time it's good to get it out yourself, but it also just almost gives the other bloke sort of the push ahead to go, it's okay to actually talk about these things that, you know, like it's just getting off your chest sometimes doesn't seem like it would be that effective, but it so much is because it's getting it out of your mind. And yeah, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. Like, it's just good to voice it. A lot easier to deal once it's out, really. Yeah, it's about that level of feeling safe and sort of trusted, I guess. And for me, I'm lucky that I've got those guys around because I just trust them enough easily because we have that mutual trust, I guess.
Nice. Hey, Sean, we're about halfway and you brought along a song for us to play today. Can you tell us what that song means to you?
There's certain songs that really just, yeah, they resonate with me. And this one has just quite a few different things and just some basic lyrics in the background, but it just reminds me that, you know, for me, everything's connected still, you know, and we are all one. So what we do will ripple off amongst everyone else, really. It's called One, and it's by WFS.
Ready again, born ready. One, one. 10,000 lion sound system. One lion has come around the mic right now, you see me? With the little guns come, and I wanna bust guns on the run when I come. Warrior, got my back to the sun when they rise up, the one chosen for the day proud. Warrior, with the little guns come, double fix, I bust guns on the run when I come. Warrior, got my back to the sun when they rise up, the one chosen for the day. Just a warrior's sound, we're just a warrior's tongue. I'm just a warrior's sound. Who are the warriors? We say peace time, war this evening. Yin yang changing and creeping, no time for sleeping. My heart is heavy and deep on the hustle I grind. Know your sign when my chime goes deep, yeah. And my people, they shine, they got that street sense. Now we always on time, don't need no pretense. My shine is bigger than pounds, cents a dime. Bring it back, got that polish of the peace called time. Ooh, need me, bass on the rhythm. Hearts beat in a spark at night, the summer's leaving. Hits me with the scent of the breeze. Architect with the keys, skylock with the Nazi dread steam, yeah. With the little guns come when I wanna bust guns, and I run when I come, I'm a warrior. Got my back to the sun when they rise, and the one chosen for the day, just a warrior. With the little guns come when I wanna bust guns, and I run when I come, warrior. Got my back to the sun when they rise, and the one chosen for the day, proud. Another sound boy loses life tonight, I must continue the show. Sound system running like a transnational, 5 foot killer. Fingers in the air for peace like Chicka Blow. Never seen a shiny girl so big and loud, whoa. My son through your skin and bone marrow. Pull back the bow and arrow. I keep steady on the scene. Watch me ripping through the scene on Kawasaki. Smoke that giddy green. Magic beans find giants for me. Can't ignore me. What will your tongue sound system? Rip the bang emission. React the wind decision. Just roll. Forget the panty shows. Double effects. You know, you know, you know, you know. With the little guns come. With the little guns come. With the little guns come. All the rest of people we say again. Stay cool, rest are cool. We're chilling on a hillside. No, we don't eat from fools. Money is a game we play, so don't follow fool. Take time to think about this yesterday. Yeah. We say cool, Rasta cool. I'm chilling in a hillside, no, we don't follow fools. Money is a a sun splash, how you mean? One last time, yeah? We run the last one, yo. Hey, I'm chilling with a baseball bat, dressed all black in your mama's bikes. I'm taking it back like Cracker Jack, better backtrack, call replies. How you do me, what you really say, what you really wanna do when you wanna run away? But a busy little beavers, bitch, take a pay, wanna take it out the pole, kick, kick, suck, suck. Young hoes wanna act the fool, pressure and itch, get a guy from school. Grab it, itch, get it from crew, ratchet is this ratchet thrill. I'ma keep it quick and plain, basic bitches, call my name. Chat to my buck, man, I feel them ways. Chump change for the price of fame, boom, boom, every acting lame. Take it to them, yeah, bag, y'all pay. Shiny money, every day, shiny money, say. With the little guns come and I wanna bust guns on the run when I come. Warrior, got my back to the sun when they rise and the one shows up for the day proud. Warrior, with the little guns come and I wanna bust guns on the run when I come. Warrior, got my back to the sun when they rise and the one chosen for the day proud. Major one, various empress, shiny money things on the side. Double fix, yo, and I respect your life.
So you obviously spent a lot of time with these guys over the years, Sean. I imagine once again you've got these guys in your head. Do you feel like you could have a conversation with any of these guys in your head right now?
We've grown together enough to kind of, you know roughly how someone's going to react, so it's been easy to talk to them. But a lot of what we're practicing amongst ourselves, those simple things of just removing the barriers and stuff, it's all just resonated with us the same. So I think, it's just been kind of like that unlocking, you know, it's been there.
Did you guys ever try any sort of group techniques? Like there's things you can do. You can find them online, but there's old books from the 70s about encounter groups and all that, about take a turn, go around the circle, everybody describe an animal that they hate, whatever, you know, like there's all kinds of little exercises you can do in a group. Did you guys ever try to go that path, or was it always kind of, let's do a check-in and see how everybody is?
We had intentions, and we still have intentions of doing that sort of stuff, but the reality was that it came down to how big's your crew to actually help out at the end of the day. So, you know, I kept it fairly basic. It was because for me, my strength was kind of in, you know, doing some repairs at the den and just doing DIY buildy stuff. So that was real easy for me. So that's where I put my strength. But there's just some other gaps when you're in a volunteer group. That's just, yeah, it just become a lot simpler to do. Simple things. I know that there is lots of stuff on the internet and all that sort of thing, but that wasn't my strength to bring those things to the table. You know, we're into our fifth year now, and we've got that base, which has still got food, but we call that our headquarters, the den, because wolves have dens. And that's got future projects that we can work on to expand what we can house out there. It's just when you're volunteers, it takes longer than ideal, but we're still chipping away at it. Yeah, if we get stuck into it, we'd have a nice wee multi-room space, which we would have a pool table or a foosball table in there. But there's also, we could move that out. We would have plans to use that as a possibly sort of a quiet time meditation space. That's kind of another thing that I've had a journey in the last sort of 4 or 5 years is meditation, and it takes different forms for everybody. It's also just that icebreaker for people too, that along the same sort of lines as other things that we've been talking about, because it's about introducing it to people into a real time in front of them view, rather than maybe the conclusion of it that they've drawn up in their head, same as a lot of other things in our kind of our world around us.
Have you guys ever tried as a group doing meditations or anything?
Not kind of as the whole kind of the group, you know, as far as if we had events, we would advertise it on our closed Facebook group, which is, there's about 100 odd local sort of Oamaru guys in that group, and we don't have a huge amount of interaction with it. But a lot, you know, there's a lot of guys that can just, they have, you know, things that they can kind of flick through if they are stuck and they have not much of another avenue. So that's where we would generally put information if we were having a working bee at our headquarters, you know, a get together, sort of a sit around and a sort of a check in.
Local business been very supportive?
Yeah, they have, for sure. Look, we haven't had to approach too many because we've been donated that space, our costs are quite low. But where we've had events and needed sponsorship for things like, you know, drinks, if we were doing a walking event, or perhaps some raffle prizes, yeah, the local businesses absolutely have been really good. Once you just, you know, you explain to them in person, you know, what you're trying to do, and if it's not a huge target, it's been easier to work to. But that's the lucky thing. We've got some dedicated volunteers that just keep things turning enough to, you know, not cost us a huge amount of overheads.
Well, I remember you guys did the International Men's Day last November. You did a ride, didn't you? A motorcycle ride.
Yeah, and it was a really nice run. Yeah, it was a nice wee day out, and it was just that was a good day to be out and about. Took the bikes on. We probably would have done maybe 120, 150 k's, and we had a V8 Valiant as a support vehicle with a couple of Wolfpack guys in that as well, which was nice to be able to get guys that didn't have bikes involved.
Yeah, they were involved, so 6 or 8 of you, I think, at the time.
Yeah, and we all had pillion passengers as well. So I had my mum on the pillion. That was the first time.
Your mum, okay, I didn't see.
My mum on the pillion, yeah. So it was great. We went to 3 country pubs and just, you got some nice cold raspberry and cokes that kind of dotted out along the route that we took. So it was a nice day out. We're out for a good half a day in the end. Good.
I mean, it is a small center, and that's one thing I've learned about smaller communities. It's a lot more chance of interconnection, but a lot less anonymity as well. So it's a bit risky to come together. Do you think that affected you guys at all?
Yeah, I think that's a constant battle for most folks in a small town, because we are so interconnected. But the strong thing is that once you do put your foot forward and just overstep that fear, just and go on to the other side of it, you realise that you're actually stronger, and people will actually start to look at you like standing just a bit stronger than what you would if you kept running away.
Sure,
from
it's
that.
A bigger risk and bigger, I guess there's bigger rewards, isn't there? Yeah. Like in the deaf community, they call it elephant memories. They got the elephant trunk in the symbol.
It's like people are afraid of for their reputation that it's going to take a hit. But the opposite thing happens is they actually get a boost in their reputation. It sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I find, and the results aren't always straight away, but it's definitely worth that battle, because you gain more strength to be able to combat those things often, and then that rebounds onto other people, so you're actually helping other people with their ability to heal by seeing it in your own self.
That's those ripples you were talking about earlier, eh?
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, it's worth the fight if you're well enough, and if you're not, get well enough and then just keep believing that you are able to and that you can. Because, yeah, I like my mantra, I am, I can, I will. I am here, I can do it, and I will do it. And if I say that fast enough and loud enough, it'll just pump me up and get me through.
I know that you've mentioned it a couple of times today, Sean, the whole question of energy and having to put energy into something like this, or making a choice to put energy into it. What advice do you have for somebody who's just going to set up something, give it a punt like you've done?
I would recommend if there was a bloke that felt like, how can I better support the mates around me? We'll start it with your mates. Don't try and do it as a wider, bigger, outside of your own tight-knit, quite sort of mates for now, because it's a much bigger puzzle outside of that, and it can be quite consuming. So, but if you just start between your mates, and that's been the joy of like actually stepping back a wee bit for the last 3 years and watching it rather than being sort of trying to work it out all the time or whatever, trying to work out what we do here and what we do there, but just sitting back and just seeing it all actually happen between the guys that have been around it for a couple of years, it's, well, that's actually where the healing is of other people, because they were able to pass it on, like the ripple, really. And then it just seems to be, it would be, it's more effective. And
I would say that was, like, I didn't mention this, but I was chair of a group called Men's Trust at the end of its life cycle, and it ran for a good 20 years, running men's groups in Christchurch. And but that was how it went too. Like it was from guys knowing each other and inviting somebody else along. And instead of somehow some great big advertising doorway or whatever, it wasn't McDonald's. It was kind of a club. If you were connected to another guy, you liked him and you wanted to get to know him better, you'd said, "Hey, dude, why don't you come along and be part of this?" And I'm a bit older than you, but I got this thing about history and I think men used to have a lot more of this interconnection. You know, probably in Amaru, you know, you look around, you see lions clubs or deer hunter clubs and so on, and you'll see some of the infrastructure still for these in rural New Zealand especially. And I wonder if we've lost something that men used to have together, you know, that fellowship, the Freemasons, you know, as much as some of those younger ones would kind of pick on them as the crazy hatted peoples, but they actually had a real strong brotherhood and a lot of accountability to each other. Do you think that rings true for you as well? Do you have any wonders about that or questions about that as you're doing this work? Or do you see a common thread to it?
For me, I guess our culture has kind of is changing constantly, and we kind of grow to our culture around us. So how that gets influenced throughout the generations is probably quite an in-depth subject to search, I guess. But so the culture itself has probably changed a little bit as some of us or some of the generations have become younger men, when I kind of think, for me, that anger was such a dominant force that it consumed me and it got me into, avenues of not coping and I got myself in a fair bit of bother with that. But if earlier on, if I learnt those skills, that it took me a long time to rewrite kind of thing. At the time, the culture around me was, it was a sort of a tough bloke culture, you know, and to fit in with and feel comfortable with your mates, it was acceptable to puff your chest out and just be a tough, angry bastard.
What would you think? Would rugby clubs be the largest kind of joining factor then? You know, if you think of networks of men, would rugby clubs have been the big thing?
The rugby clubs are definitely still important. I actually started playing rugby again 2 years ago, played for a season in one game. So I made the second season technically, but and it was good to be immersed amongst that sort of rugby culture and just see how those folks were getting on. And just that whole season I wasn't drinking, so sitting around the club rooms without a beer in your hand, I was the exception to everyone else had a beer in their hand. But it was nice to kind of watch the, I know I keep going back to the ripple, but that's the easiest way for me to explain it. You know, I wasn't drinking and I was confident enough not to have to get peer pressured into drinking. So it was still a battle. I still had to fight my uneasy, kind of on the old one out, kind of overthinking that kind of been happening at the time. But once I pushed through for a couple of games, they didn't even flicker an eyelid at me sitting in there drinking raspberry and cokes in the club rooms. And then eventually, sort of halfway through the season, another bloke joined me at the table, kind of the main area at the table where I wasn't drinking. And then by the end of the season, there was kind of three or four guys that used to be quite comfortable sit around and not feel like they had to have a beer. So that, you know, and each to their own. If you want to have a beer and unwind, then that's your own choice. But as long as it's not becoming the dominant choice, that's the main thing, I guess.
Yeah, it didn't feel that strange to just not do it. Yeah, and just still hang out with each other, eh? You know, I'm just aware that running a men's sports service, I see a lot of guys that are experiencing social isolation. So with what you created, I wish we had a lot more of that going on for men around the community. So good on you for, you know, picking up the gauntlet, I guess, and giving it a go, see what happened, and you've learned a lot from it. Got any thoughts about what's next for the group?
Yeah, I've been 5 years in the chairman of the Wolfpack, so I've had to learn a lot about my own growth amongst sort of taking that reins, and a lot of it was trouble to delegate, and that's always been something that's been tricky for me. So there's some good guys that have come up through the ranks without even needing to delegate. They have just done some stuff off their own back, and it's benefited all of us. So it's in a place now where it can carry on easily under its own steam and have me step back and just support some new ideas and some new energy, probably, because I live in a little village of about 250 people, 20 minutes north of Oamaru now, and I'm quite connected to that community because I own a little section of land there, and I've got a nice frame of my own living, and I feel connected to that community. So that's when I do work in that community, but just, you know, as a gift to just sake of, I can use my ability to do it, like gardening or planting or whatever in the community, it just feels effortless. So that's kind of the best place to be putting my energy, is where it's effortless. So that's something that I'm probably going to move towards with a bit of time on my hands to weigh up, where my energy is best spent. And something that I'm reminding myself is that the picture or the conclusion of what I've drawn in my mind is not always how things are going to play out.
Start on a path, you don't know what's going to come out, eh? You know, you start journeys and, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had one wish, what would it be?
I would wish for, if I had one wish to gift everybody, it would be to have more self-confidence of yourself and what you genuinely feel yourself without any external allowances first. Because that's kind of where it all starts, really, when you really just genuinely acknowledge how things are affecting you and how you're processing them. And then, yeah, it's a constant journey and a constant learning.
Make those leaps when it time, you know, instead of taking a bit longer. Yeah, just
when you believe you can. No, but yeah, so that self-confidence is what can get you over the line.
What do you think would happen if you know, this Christmas, everyone got a Christmas present of self-confidence? What would the world look like then?
I think we would see some amazing human traits come out that we've all naturally got that may have been suppressed by fear and other consuming kind of things.
Closing off, Sean, is there anybody you think, great leap sideways, what other things should we talk about with men?
Maybe that I think we've all got this creative trait takes way to heaps of different forms. But if we can find that thing that just naturally gels with us.
Get a creative guy, yeah.
Well, I've just seen different lots of different people in different circles and things that have just got an amazing talent that's so natural and effortless to them. But it's such a beautiful kind of an outlet for them just to turn whatever might be happening internally into a sort of an exchange to go out. And then that music itself is actually all that art, all that. Okay. I'm pretty good at yarning. That's my talent that I'm learning. But anyway, we all have some things that are effortless and that can just be enjoyed and spread. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Thanks for that. You got me thinking of somebody for another future round. Final. You got any closing comments, Ian?
No. I just thanks for coming on and I appreciate what you're doing, and I think it's a great example of starting small and seeing the effects just travel out and affect lots and lots and lots of people that you probably don't even know about. Like, so thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being that stone creating the ripple there, Sean.
No, thank you very much for your time. Enjoyed the yarn too, so. It's good to see you both, and I look forward to having a listen in the tractor of the finished result.